Next item on the agenda, Sturgeon Creek Condominiums, 10-0309. Thank you, Mr. Early. Appreciate it. Yep.
Sturgeon Creek Condominiums is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain six wet slips constructed channelward of their authorized location, two previously unauthorized wet slips, six finger piers, six pile-supported boat lifts, five small personal watercraft lifts, and a 29-foot by 6-foot open pile pier extension, as well as authorization to construct 168 linear feet of additional open pile pier head with finger piers and mooring piles to create 10 additional wet slips with uncovered boat lifts and to construct 11 cantilevered canoe and kayak racks along the landward side of the pier head at their community use pier situated on Sturgeon Creek in Middlesex. This is Sturgeon Creek, Rappahannock River out here, Stingray Point. It's all the Deltaville area of Middlesex County. Topographic map. This is the pier in question here. It's located basically on this along the southern shoreline of Sturgeon Creek. A little bit closer view, that same aerial. This is 2009. The community pier serves the Sturgeon Creek condominium development, which consists of six buildings and a total of 18 units situated atop a relatively high, steep bluff overlooking the creek. The condominium property includes approximately 1,500 linear feet of shoreline along Sturgeon Creek and a tributary cove. That's out of order. On February 26, 2010, the Sturgeon Creek Homeowners Association submitted an application seeking authorization to expand their community pier and add slips to create a total of 18 wet slips at the pier. The expansion would provide a slip for each of the 18 condominium owners. During the review of the application, we determined that there were several unauthorized improvements that had been made at the pier at various times since its original construction around 1990. Staff discussed the permit discrepancies with the applicant, and we sent a notice to comply to the association on April 20th of this year. That notice identified the following unauthorized pier additions. Eight wet slips are located on the channelward side of the pier head, but only six wet slips were authorized, and those were authorized to be located on the landward side of the pier head. Six finger piers had been constructed. Seven uncovered pile-supported boat lifts had been installed. Five small personal watercraft lifts have been installed on the existing pier pilings, and a 29-foot by 6-foot open pile addition had been constructed on the northeast end, which is this end here, given this pier orientation. The notice directed to removal of the unauthorized structures within 45 days, or alternatively, the submittal of an after-the-fact request to retain the illegal structures. We also stated that any after-the-fact application would need to be accompanied by a statement from the association or their contractor explaining why the work was conducted without the required permit. It was requested that any after-the-fact request be made within 30 days. This aerial photo was taken last month. By letter dated May 3rd of 2010, the association requested after-the-fact authorization for the unauthorized construction, and they asked us to consider their pending application be utilized as their after-the-fact application. The letter also provided a detailed explanation concerning the history of the construction at the pier and the association's limited involvement. Finally, they apologized for the unauthorized work for which the association was responsible, and they asked the commission take into account their limited involvement when considering the assessment of civil charges and penalties. The association explains in their letter that the original developer, Ms. Mason Andrews, retained ownership of the pier and was responsible for its use until the association took control of the pier in 2005. They state that all the unauthorized construction took place prior to 2005, with the exception of the installation of two uncovered boat lifts. Our aerial photography appears to support their statement. They also state that they relied upon the contractor to obtain any necessary permits for the construction of the lifts that they were responsible for. The contractor, Larry Shores, is recently deceased, and his son was unable to locate any paperwork associated with the boat lift installations. This is the plan view drawing from the 1995 permit, which was the last permit issued prior to this application being submitted. You can see there were six slips authorized on the landward side of the pier. This is an aerial photo of the pier in 2002. Slips and finger piers have been installed on the channelward side of the pier head. I really don't know why they requested them on the landward end of the pier to start with. We didn't question it, but we would have authorized slips on the channelward side. It wasn't a navigational concern. This is the 2007 image. In this image, you can see that the northeast extension has been added. This picture is oriented north-south, so this is the northeast end here. The developer supposedly had control of the pier until 2005. This plan view drawing provided by the applicants depicting the pier as it currently exists. The brown portion of the pier is what I estimate has actually been authorized. The yellow shows these personal watercraft lifts that are actually supported by pier pilings. And this is what we considered to be the most significant addition of the pier, which created two additional wet slips and extended the pier an additional 29 feet in that direction, and then the installation of the unauthorized boat lifts. There is some confusion out there among the general public, I think, because we tell them that uncovered boat lifts on a private pier typically don't require any permit from us. Contractors, whether on purpose or not, have said, well, no, an uncovered boat lift doesn't require anything, and that is sometimes a bit of confusion. This is the southwest end of the existing pier. No comments were received in response to the public notice, and neither adjoining property owner objects to the application. In their comments dated July 8th of this year, VIM states that piers have shading impacts on wetlands and the waters underneath the pier structure. They also note that wet slips and associated concentrated boat handling introduces petroleum products, toxicants, bacteria, and garbage into the waterway. To minimize the impacts, they recommend reducing the size of the structure where possible, the development of plans to address oil spills and garbage and sewage handling, and the proper use of sewage pump-out facilities. They also recommend the use of adequate trash receptacles and signage to encourage best management practices. The Health Department determined on July 6th of this year the association was in compliance with the Health Department's sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings. They also confirmed by email correspondence that the upstream portion of Sturgeon Creek in the project vicinity is presently condemned for the direct marketing of shellfish, and the additional slips would not necessitate any additional closure. By letter dated March 3rd of 2010, we also were advised by the Department of Environmental Quality that a water protection permit would not be required. And the Department of Conservation and Recreation states they do not anticipate the project will adversely affect any of their programs. This is the northeast side of the existing pier. This is the end of the pier that was extended from about this point on. Under local land use policies, it appears that approximately 10 single-family homes could have been developed on this property. Accordingly, the number of slips appears to conform to a policy the Commission has used in the past, basically providing two slips for each of the private piers that could have been constructed on the property had it been developed as single-family lots. It does not appear the project will adversely affect navigation within the creek. Also, the project will not encroach on any public or privately leased oyster planting ground. As I mentioned, the project will not necessitate any changes to the existing shellfish condemnation. This is a plan view and cross-sectional drawing of the existing pier and the proposed work. Brown is the authorized pier. Yellow, or this orange color, doesn't show up as well on the screen, is the work that's been installed already. Yellow is what they're seeking for the expansion. Staff believes the proposed construction is reasonable and that the environmental impacts associated with the expansion will be minimal. In fact, we were preparing to administratively approve the request until we discovered the unauthorized construction. Staff often discourages the storing of personal watercraft, canoes, and kayaks on community piers, but in this case it seems reasonable since the high bank limits access and makes upland storage impractical. We are always troubled by violations and after-the-fact applications. In this case, it appears the majority of the unauthorized work was conducted prior to the association taking over control of the pier. The association stated that they were unaware of the unauthorized construction until it was identified by staff during the review of the application. They also stated that the submittal of the current application is evidence of their desire to comply with the laws and regulations. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering the factors contained in Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, we do recommend approval of the project with a condition that the association be required to develop and implement appropriate best management practices designed to address the prevention of pollution associated with solid waste, sewage, and petroleum products. Given the after-the-fact nature of the request, we also recommend triple permit fees and royalties as provided for in Section 28.2-1206D of the Code for the 1,102 square feet of encroachment associated with that portion of the pier that was constructed with VMRC without VMRC authorization. That would be the northeast end. The triple permit fee would amount to $300, and the triple royalty would be based on $4.50 per square foot, which is triple the normal rate of $1.50 per square foot. We also recommend a royalty of $7,704 for the encroachment of the proposed pier additions on 5,136 square feet of state-owned submerged land at the normal rate of $1.50 per square foot. Finally, should the Commission desire to accept payment of a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement actions, we would recommend the charge be based on minimal environmental impacts and a moderate degree of deviation or noncompliance, given the association's only recent assumption of the pier ownership.
Questions of Mr. Neikert? Mr. Tankard?
Is in fact the ownership just a paper situation? Does the developer, is he still there or is she still there?
She is not there anymore. And as I understood from conversations with the applicant, they seemed to be caught off guard by the whole thing. They submitted the application for the expansion, and we were going back through the old permits trying to figure out what the appropriate royalty would be, and, you know, unfortunately it didn't match up, and this was a permit that was issued, you know, some time ago and not part of our regular compliance packet.
Just to follow up so I'm clear in my understanding, what part of this was constructed by the present group, the owner, the association, that they went out on their own and did the wrong thing, and it wasn't assumed that it was? Are they holding the bag for anything at this present time of doing something they shouldn't have done without the assistance of the contractor or previous owner?
Okay. They said that they installed two boat lifts.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Is all that we've got, but you know.
Boat lifts over slips that are already existing.
Correct.
No pilings, just the boat lift.
No, there were additional pilings put in for them.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Chip. Mm-hmm. Is the association here represented?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Could you come forward, please? Good afternoon, sir. Could you raise your hand? I solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God.
I do.
You state your name, please.
Tom Scanello. I'm president of the Homeowners Association.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First, I'd like to thank VMRC staff for everything they've done to help us with this project.
Thank you.
It was a lot of excellent work and guidance for us to get us to this point today. We regret the past violations, and I humbly apologize for them. I hope our actions in this process have shown that we want to be good citizens and good waterfront community owners. We agree that the triple permit fees of $300 and hopefully the minimum recommended civil charge, which I understand is around $1,200, we feel like that that's appropriate and reasonable. But I would like to reiterate a couple facts about the project history. We did take ownership and control of the dock in 2005. Prior to that, we had no authority over the dock, and if anybody wanted to do anything, any of the homeowners wanted to do anything, they had to contact a developer and also pay her rent for the space that we used. The original dock was built by the developer, a lady named Mason Andrews, through her corporation, Sturgeon Creek Development Corporation. All of that work was completed prior to 2000. That corporation no longer exists, and therefore we have no recourse against it, and we had no authority over its actions. The dock was expanded sometime in the 2002-2003 time frame. That's that northeast piece that Chip mentioned. And it was done by a homeowner who shortly thereafter, about a year after, sold his condominium and left the community. We had no decision-making authority at that time over what he did, and we assumed as owners that he did it responsibly and followed the rules. We're a small association. We have 18 homeowners, so we operate on a very small budget. If you add up the recommended royalties, civil charge, penalties that we would have to pay in this, it represents over 25% of our annual revenues. Therefore, I feel like we're being a little unfairly punished for the things that were done prior to 2005 when we became responsible for that by being asked to pay triple the royalties on the 2002-2003 expansion by a homeowner who has now moved away. I would therefore ask that that portion be reduced to the normal royalties for that expansion. And I thank you for your time and my chance to comment.
Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The triple royalties, what was the thought process as far as coming up with that?
We will typically recommend that at the staff level. It's, you know, obviously up to you. It's not a requirement.
And it's a matter of consistency as well?
Yes, sir.
Well,
okay. Mr. Fox.
I'm reading the write-up that we mailed, a briefing document, and it says that there would be a triple royalty fee of $4.50, but then it doesn't say what that would apply to. The next sentence says it would be the normal rate of $1.50.
The triple royalty would be just for that portion of the pier that is after the fact, and then the new expansion that they're wanting to do would be at the normal rate of $1.50. The after-the-fact portion would be $3,306 more than if we assessed it at the $1.50 rate. I figured if you went with the $1,200 civil charge, $200 on the permit fee, and an additional $3,306 of royalty over top of the normal rate, the total penalty would be approximately $4,706.
I don't have a problem with staff's recommendation at all. And I guess maybe I'm looking at it from a constructive perspective, maybe the wrong way. In this situation, a person's either guilty or they're not guilty. And if they're guilty, then you charge them everything that's there as far as the fine that's incumbent. I'm having a hard time finding what these folks who were, were left holding the bag under a presumption either by a contractor who did the work who's now deceased, which we can't take any course of action against, and a corporation that's now defunct. And they're coming hat in hand That's just the way I'm looking at it. Matters up to the commission. Because the barbecue's getting cold. Mr. Robbins.
On that note, Mr. Chairman, I concur with your remarks. I think these folks inherited a very unfortunate situation as an association. The developer and the contractor collaboratively perhaps created a bit of a mess, I think, from a at least from a permitting standpoint, by not seeking proper permits for what they did. So much of this, I think, was inherited. I would be inclined to stick with the triple permit fee, but otherwise approve the project with the normal rates for the royalty. And they have accepted, they have offered to accept the civil charge. I would suggest that we make that minimal to reflect their relatively low degree of involvement in it. That is, the only things that they had done after 2005 apparently were related to installation of a couple of additional pilings and boat lifts. So I would offer a motion then that we approve the project, and including after the fact approval, with a triple permit fee, the normal rate for royalties on the entire project, and a $600 civil charge.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.